You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits start at just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Chibi and Chill, the anime podcast. And this week, since the last episode, it's been a big week. I have my birthday, so I finally turned 30 now. So, death of my 20s, and now we start 30s, which is a little bit scary. But this week has been a big week. I finally got to see Megan Thee Stallion in concert the day after my birthday, so Sunday the 14th, so that was absolutely awesome. And there were so many people dressed in like anime cosplay. I saw a Tanjiro, a Gojo, and a Luffy as well. So three top tier anime characters at the Meg show. So it was absolutely awesome. I'm sure you've seen some of the videos on social media, on my TikTok, Instagram, that kind of thing. Honestly, it was so, so good. This is like her first concert, so I'm super, super happy I managed to get to it. And honestly, oh, it's so good. I'm not going to go on about it too long because this isn't a Meg episode, but honestly, it was so, so just awesome. But an awesome week, a great birthday. I've got so much anime goodies to film and show you guys. You can see some of them a little bit in the background if you're watching this on YouTube. You can see tidbits of them, but there's so much. My shelves are a little bit more lively now. They're a little bit more full. I've got some unboxings to do, so do keep an eye out on here, on YouTube, on TikTok, Instagram, all that good stuff for the videos, and you'll see some of the Naruto, One Piece, all the goodies that I've got from my birthday. So, loads to show you guys. But this week's episode kind of carries on that mecha anime theme from last week, because last week I mentioned that we kind of did the history of mecha anime, and I was halfway through Evangelion, Neon Genesis Evangelion, the original series. And now that I've finished it, and I've also now watched the movie, the end of Evangelion. So now that I've kind of watched that, I wanted to do a little bit of a review, a little bit of a breakdown of it, and also share some facts, trivia, that kind of thing to kind of help us maybe not particularly understand it more, but also kind of give a little bit more light into areas of the show and the movie that maybe we didn't know about, or just kind of appreciate it a little bit more. It is a super, super iconic anime, and there's so much depth to it, and it's one of those really complex animes. Well, it's not one that's super simple to understand or even kind of wrap around, because there's so many open questions even today, after it came out in 1995 and 97 for the movie. So there's a lot to unpack, but before we dive into the episode properly, let's dive into the bucket list update. So for the bucket list this week, most of it has been Evangelion, because I'm trying to start a new focus with the bucket list and try and finish an anime when I start it, finish it, and then move on to the next before I end up with a list of half done, half completed anime series that seems to be a common theme for me. So I managed to finish the original series of 26 episodes of Evangelion, and I love them right up until the last two episodes, and that seems to be a very, very common theme. But Evangelion, I'll dive into that more as we kind of get into the update, into the like episode. But Evangelion was one of the ones on the bucket list that I was the most hyped to watch. I've seen so many stills of it, so many people kind of rave about Evangelion before I properly watched it, and I knew of it before the poster and before the challenge. But I think it's one of those anime that I needed the poster to kind of really push me to watch because of, like I said in the history of mecha last week, mecha is one of those genres that I never truly wanted to dive into. It's not one that I thought would really be my thing, and Evangelion really, really set a high bar, I have to say. It really set a bar that I wasn't expecting, if I'm honest. And I'm glad that I'm being surprised. I'm glad that I've been proven wrong about the mecha genre. And I'm kind of excited to see what other mecha anime are on the list, are on the bucket list behind me. So I'm excited to kind of trial new ones. Gundam is on there. That's the one that I do know is on there. So that one, in theory, I think I should make that one the next. But there are some other ones on there. So I need to kind of properly look through. But you can see right at the top, if you are watching on YouTube, there are two little boxes there scratched off for Evangelion and the end of Evangelion movie. So a cool little ones. If I'm honest, the poster, I'll put a picture up on social media, on Instagram and stuff. But there, the very first one is actually the very first angel that we've seen, like episode one. Or is it episode two? Episode one, I think. The like dark one with the big shoulders and like the pointy head. It's that one. And I love that it is that. I kind of thought it'd be unit one on the little card, but it's nice. It's a nice surprise. And it's actually one of the better ones that's on the poster as well. It's a really cool little icon. So I'll post a picture of that over on Instagram. I've got a video to edit where a load of them are being scratched off. Anyway, so end of Evangelion movie, I think really helped save the series from its last two episodes. But I think I can appreciate the art direction that they kind of went in for the last two episodes of the original series. It's very different, but we'll unpack that a little bit further on. I don't want to kind of say the episode before we kind of properly dived in, because it's this past week that's been a huge Evangelion focus and drive from an anime watching point of view that's really inspired this episode. Before we dive into the episode properly, unpack Evangelion, both the series and the movie, there's no other real update on the bucket list. It's all been Evangelion this week. But let's dive into a little bit of an ad break, and then we'll dive into all about Evangelion. We'll do some basic plot points, and then we'll dive into my review of Evangelion, the first series, and then the movie. If you're like me, you love to dive into some tasty treats or savory treats while watching your favorite anime. Now, with Boxu, you can travel through Japan through flavors with 20 to 22 savory, sweet, and more snacks to enjoy every single month with a unique theme. For your first box, upon subscribing, you get the Seasons of Japan box, where each snack comes from a certain prefecture in Japan and covers a themed season such as autumn, spring, and more. Enjoy sweet, savory, citrusy, and more flavors with Boxu's curated collection of snacks every single month. After your first box, which is the Seasons of Japan box, you'll enjoy a unique themed curated box every month with snacks that match the month's theme for the box. Enjoy your first box with Boxu using my link down in the bio and the show description, and enjoy a world of flavors and explore Japan through taste with Boxu. So just in case anyone isn't actually aware, there will be spoilers in this episode. So if you haven't watched it, or maybe not finished it, maybe just save it and come back to it later on the episode when you have finished it. I really don't want to spoil it for anyone. I'm one of those people that absolutely hate seeing spoilers from an anime that I really, really enjoy or really want to dive into. So maybe you're like me and you'll also forget the spoilers. That's also fair enough. But please don't let this ruin it for you. There will be spoilers from this point on, so please be aware. The original series of Neon Genesis Evangelion, the very first kind of iconic series of 26 episodes, started in 1995, and then it released its first movie, The End of Evangelion, which is kind of like the retelling of the last two episodes of Neon Genesis Evangelion. The original series came out in 1997 as a way to kind of retell the ending because of how controversial it was for the fandom and everyone that kind of was looking forward to this ending. But the plot of Evangelion is the series revolves around the organization NIEV. Just a side note here, I did watch it in English and I want to say as NIEV, just normally, like just say as NIEV. But everyone in the anime in the English version says as NIEV. And it's got a weird kind of sound to it. But I will say it like that, just in case they said that like that in the Japanese version as well. But NIEV using large mechas called Evangelions or Evas to combat monstrous beings called Angels. And they are piloted by several of the main characters or children, which are Shinji, Ikari. Does anyone else have this issue where you kind of see the names or you hear the names on the episodes or you read them in the subtitles and you try and say them out loud and your mouth just does not want to say them and it just does not happen? So if I butcher some of these names over and over again in this episode, I am so sorry, but I don't know why I can say them so easily and so confidently in my head. And as soon as I start to say them, I sound like I've never spoken in my life. But they're piloted by several of the main characters from the show, which are all children, which is Shinji Ikari, Asuka Tsuryu, and Rei Ayanami. And there are two kind of other ones, which actually end up being the fifth angel. But they're like your main core three, the three pilots for the three Evas. But the Evangelion anime, I absolutely loved. It's so, from a very first take point of view, I think this is the anime and the visual aesthetic of anime that I think people think of when they first think of anime. It's got that very kind of nostalgic retro vibe to it. It was made in 1995, so it has got that kind of older technology inside of it that now is super retro and super kind of like a vibe now. It's super aesthetic now. But it's so gorgeously animated, and it's one that I think, if you kind of don't pay attention to the plot point, you can get lost in the visuals for the show. It's so kind of intricate for its time. It's not ancient, so I don't really want to say it like that. But it's got such an interesting visual to it, and it's super, super aesthetic to look at. And the story itself is super intricate. I think Evangelion is known as one of those anime that can get quite confusing after a little while, especially after, I think it's episode 12, where the story starts to alter and change a little bit and starts to get a lot more monologue focused, a lot more kind of inner trauma kind of focused, and focused on the inner turmoil that these characters are going through that are only about 14, 15, that kind of age, like adolescent age. And it focuses more on that kind of inner turmoil that these characters are going through. They're all kind of trying to like come of age and they're piloting these huge machines that we actually learn are not quite machines. They aren't full throughout machines. They have biological parts that can regenerate and they're actual replicas of angels, and they do actually have organs, which is why they bleed. They're more of a giant human or humanoid kind of creature with armor on top rather than being a flat out and out machine that's just been piloted and controlled. It has emotion, it's got body parts, and it's a lot more interesting as a concept for a mecha anime, where mecha is all about that machine and that fighting a big thing with a big machine, and it makes it a lot more complex and kind of merges the worlds of the biological human side with feelings and emotions and fear, I guess, for a lot of the fights in the anime, and gives it that kind of metallic, that mechanical overlay, like a gloss over of mechanics. And I think that's kind of where there's this outer layer of the Eivas being so mechanical and so kind of futuristic looking that it's surprising to when they get cut, you see the bones and you see the flesh underneath. And the movie does get a little bit more gruesome, which is, I personally kind of enjoy. I quite like that, if I'm honest. But I think it's interesting to see this interlay of they're more biological than they are mechanical for the Eivas. And it's kind of bizarre and weird. And it gets a lot more focused on that in the movie that came out in 1997, The End of Evangelion. But I think I would have loved, maybe if I watch it again, I think I'll have less questions. But I think I would have loved to have had more information about the first impact, the second impact, and had more about what exactly happened. Like, I would have loved some clips around, this is what it looked like, this is what the first one looked like, this is what happened, this is what the world had to do to survive, and kind of run through it a little bit more and tell you more about that lore. I think the world of Neon Genesis Evangelion is so interesting. It's so deep. There's so much history there. Before we even start the story and before we even meet Shinji, or especially Rei as well, she's got such a backstory. And there's, especially in the film, she plays, or her character, I guess, plays an enormous, enormous role. And
you just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And that surprised me a little bit. We're so used to kind of seeing the main character, which is Shinji, play this main part and everything revolves around them. Whereas in the film, it kind of flips a little bit and we actually see Rei Ayanami become this super important character and becomes this giant godlike being. And that, I think, was my favourite moment of the anime movie, because it's so avant-garde, it's so extra, but so iconic at the same time. Like, I've never seen anything like that in any other anime that I've watched. And it was like that wow moment for the anime movie, and it really kind of made you stop. And I think this feels like true anime from a vibe point of view and an illustration point of view and a kind of art direction point of view. And it's that kind of really, I don't want to say saved Evangelion for me, because the movie itself did from the last two episodes of the original series, because they just lost me, unfortunately. But the series itself was super, super cool. I loved it. I loved the design of the Eivas. I loved the lore of the Eivas and the angels. And I find it interesting. I kind of expected all the angels in the series to look like the first one, the one with the kind of like teardrop, upside down teardrop kind of bird-like head with the giant shoulders. I kind of expected them all to look like that. But actually, they're all incredibly, incredibly different, which I thought was odd and interesting. And it's kind of, they all kind of attack Earth in different ways and try different techniques. And I guess, is that why they're so different? They all have a different technique to try and achieve the goal that we kind of see at the end. You know, is that why they're so different? It's super, super interesting. Or is it just from an anime point of view and an art direction point of view that it makes it more surprising for the user to kind of see them like this in different ways? It's like that big pyramid one, There's the one that's like literally just a cord, and there's the kind of electrical one. There's a lot, and they're very, very different. I've got some facts about them down like towards the end of the episode. But it's interesting, and I find them fascinating. I want more of the lore about the angels specifically. They were one of the things that really, really interests me, especially with Lilith and Adam. I think that's really interesting. And one thing I noticed throughout the entire show and the movie is that kind of religious symbolism that was super heavy throughout, especially when we started to get more deep into the story with Lilith and Adam. It's a lot of Christian kind of nods throughout the series, which I thought was really interesting. And that's something I think we see a lot in 90s anime, is that kind of religious nod. There's some that actually got kind of, they got edited in the Western media instead of it being, or was it the other way around? They got edited either way. There's a really famous one from Pokemon where Misty is holding up like a crucifix to a ghost type Pokemon, and you kind of see that a lot. When you look back at 90s anime, there's a little kind of undercurrent of religious symbolism throughout anime, and I think that's really interesting. We don't really see that too much now, and I wonder why, but I'm not going to dive into something that heavy in this episode, don't worry. I'm not going to start having like a religious debate on this podcast, but I think it's interesting. I think it's strange, but it fit Evangelion so well. The whole kind of vibe of the darker side of Christianity really suits Evangelion, and it really worked for a lot of the symbolism. Like all of the explosions, there were like the little stars that looked a little bit like a crucifix. Those were so cool. But overall, I absolutely love the first season, apart from the last two episodes. And after kind of doing a little bit of digging to kind of find out why it was controversial, and I found out why. And I get why it is controversial. It's very different. It's very arty. It's a very art-directed kind of focus for an anime that is essentially a... Well, it's not essentially a fighting shonen anime. It doesn't really fit that vibe. But it does in the first 12 episodes. It's got a very big focus on that in the first 12 episodes. It's very... The Avas are fighting angels, and they're using techniques to try and fight them. And we'll learn more about the Avas and how they're kind of the plugs and the pods and things like that. We learn a lot about the Avas in that moment through the fights. And all of a sudden it kind of swaps and flips, and the anime becomes much more of a inner turmoil focus. And I think I wouldn't mind that. But the art direction that changed so drastically to like these hand-drawn, partly coloured, partly not, sketchy, all different types of artwork styles, not properly animated, just kind of stills, really kind of broke it for me, unfortunately. But I understand that from an art perspective, there's kind of this underlying current of, it was very deep and meaningful, and it was very poetic and arty, and I get that. But I was expecting more of a wrap-up from a story about the Avas and the angels, and you know, all of a sudden we've gone from kind of killing the fifth angel, unaliving the fifth angel, to then this huge two episode long inner monologue from the characters. And the art direction, like I said, was a weird mix. I think that's what broke it for me, unfortunately. If it carried on the normal anime animation that we've had from the very beginning, I think potentially I might not have felt that way. But there was a lot more like crude drawings, like we said. But I wonder if, when I've kind of thought about this and kind of reflected on it a little bit, is it because the characters are laid bare in those two episodes? All we kind of see is this crazy, mixed up emotion kind of soup that we're seeing. And is it because they've got nothing to hide behind anymore? So the emotions are laid bare. So the animation and drawings are also laid bare to kind of match that feeling and emotion that the characters are feeling that we've been with since episode one. Is it so we can kind of feel almost uncomfortable as they are? Is that kind of why? Am I just reading too much into it? Maybe. But I think that's really, really interesting. And I can see why it's controversial, and I do get it. But then all of a sudden, on the last 8 minutes of the episode, it kind of returns this normal animation that we're used to seeing. and what we've all just kind of witnessed together and uncomfortably kind of sat through, it actually all just ends up being a dream by Shinji Ikari. That's just a dream that he's been having. And he's woken up by the pilot of Unit 2. And that's kind of strange. It's bizarre. And it's kind of a... it's a moment of question of, well, how much of it did happen? Or was it all a dream? Or is it just that weird two-episode moment that was a dream, just a sketchy bit of the animation? Was that just a dream? And it kind of, like, interplays a little bit and we get a bit lost. And all of a sudden, Ray, the pilot of Unit Zero, is having her first day at school and they bump into her and it's a bit like she doesn't know them anymore. But why? Or is it a clone of Rey? Because we know there's a load of clones of Rey. So there was so many questions, I think, raised in those last 8 minutes of the episode of the series that then it kind of just ended and you're left in this kind of dark void, knowing nothing more about the world of the Avers or Evangelion. But then we have the movie. So the movie, I think, really helped save this for me. And I keep saying save, but for lack of a better word, saved it. Because I loved it right until the last two episodes. But the movie, I think, really, really gave me the ending that I kind of wanted and more, I think. I think more. But I think the end of Evangelion, I think this gave me one that I much preferred this to last two episodes. I think this... they made this movie to kind of help appease the fans a little bit because it was controversially received. People didn't like it all that much and I can see why. You know, it is very different. Maybe it's because it was very ahead of its time. Maybe that is why. Maybe it was too ahead of its time. It was too different for people. And I get that. Maybe it even is today. But I think the movie should have been the last two episodes, but I think it worked in the brand's favour, I think, to have it be a movie. I don't think the series would be as big without that controversy. So I think from a marketing point of view, it works. And it works. I mean, I'm making this podcast episode all about it. So it obviously works somewhere. But I think part of me thinks that this... I think part of me thinks I prefer the movie because of my love for shonen anime. And that kind of, those love for these big fights and big climactic moments. The movie had a lot more of those. We saw, I keep forgetting the pilot of Unit 2's name, but the orange-haired girl, the pilot's Unit 2, she kind of has this inner turmoil as well, but then she's back in an Ava. She's fighting these nine angels that have come back, that have all kind of risen. And, you know, that's such a strong fight. And that drew me in immediately, like this giant fight and the giant angels that actually now have wings like angels and kind of they look like angels but much more kind of alien-esque because their faces aren't quite like an Ava. So it kind of, but they're quite Ava, they're Ava-like. It was so, so good. And I think that is why I enjoyed it more, because this is the kind of ending that I wanted from the original series, these climactic moments, these big fights. And it's still got that arty vibe with the giant Ray that we see with Lilith and that kind of merging of this collecting of souls and this kind of cataclysm and this big kind of end of humanity that we kind of see. It was just so well done. And I think that is exactly... it's exactly what I wanted from the series for Evangelion. And I'm so happy that they did this. And yeah, I think I didn't like the moment near the end where it kind of, again, we kind of had this flip similar to the original series where we had this flipping, not particularly narrative because it was quite a long monologue going on at this point, but there kind of was a flip towards this real world recording like of Japan and people, and all of a sudden we had this flip from animation over to real world photography, real world like recording, which was bizarre. And again, it broke me away from the animation, and I don't really know why that happened. Is it because we're meant to be more self-aware? Is it because we're meant to be aware of what we're doing right now? So it kind of puts us, kind of shocks us a little bit. But I didn't like that, I'm not going to lie. I didn't like that kind of moment where it kind of split us away from the animation again. But it was interesting. And there's some kind of greater meaning there between for that that I'm just not understanding. And I'm aware of that. So fair enough. Maybe Evangelion will be one of those animations and piece of art, I guess, that it will be studied in years and years and years to come, maybe like a 2050, if not later, because I was actually not that far away. And it'll be like one of those greatest pieces of art because it's so deeply thought out, because of these moments where it breaks animation completely and you're kind of shocked as a viewer. But we did still get the inner turmoil from the kind of inner conflict and inner turmoil that the characters were going through. And I think it was done slightly better in the movie than it was in the actual original animation. There was this kind of undercurrent of a lot more kind of adult themes. And especially right at the beginning with Shinji Ikari. I'm not going to put a screenshot of it, but if you know, you know. But there was that kind of, there's a lot more of a kind of sexual kind of puberty undercurrent going through the movie, which is kind of interesting. And it was slightly there in the original anime, but it was much, much more present in the movie. So I think that's interesting, but I think it suits the characters well. You know, they're kind of going through what everyone else kind of goes through in real life with puberty and those kind of emotions and like everything that kind of goes with it, but also trying to pilot a Nava and stop the end of the world with Nerve, you know, kind of going through all of this whilst also just trying to be a kid and also not trying to run alive at the same time. So it kind of worked, and I think they did it really well. And it was kind of like, it was interesting, for lack of a better word, to kind of see it, I guess. It was strange, but interesting. But it's got those kind of moments, I think, where anime is different to cartoon because it is a lot more, I don't want to say real, but it is a lot more kind of honest about the turmoil that people go through and kind of shows more the emotions and emotional cycles that characters go through in an anime compared to like a cartoon where the world is saved and everyone's fine again, everyone's happy, it's fine. And Monday rolls around again and it's the same again. You know, it's that kind of thing. But I loved the movie. I think the movie really, really was like the pinnacle of Evangelion for me. And yeah, I'm reluctant to watch the other movies because I don't want to ruin it. I don't want to spoil it for me now. But there's an Evangelion Death True Squared. True 2? It's not 2 because it's not a sequel to it. But I think it's technically part 2 of like a run of movies. And this seems to be more of like a recap of the series, of the original series. Originally split into 2 halves, with the first one being a recap of the first original 24 episodes. And it kind of continues the story on. I don't think I'm going to watch that. It's not actually on the bucket list. The series and the movie End of Evangelion was. And that's not the reason why I don't want to watch it. But I think I'm quite happy with how it's kind of, how the movie kind of brought the series to an end, and I'm happy with how it kind of continued it through and brought it to an end. It is one of those series, though, that I really do want to sit and really dive into. I want to find some kind of fandom, some kind of site that shows all this information about the Avas, about the Angels, about Nerve, about Sile, about the Spear of Longinus. I really wish it wasn't pronounced like that. I really wish it wasn't Longinus. It's just, I mean, too immature for the spear or staff of Longinus. It needs to be like Longinus or something less inusy. It's too much. It pulls me away because I'm too childish. But anyway, let's dive into some trivia. Let's dive into some of the Easter eggs and trivia that I did find while I was doing a little bit of a dig in before I fell down a huge rabbit hole for people talking and discussing Evangelion. But overall, before diving into the Easter eggs, I am so glad this was on my bucket list. I'm so glad that I finally kind of dived into this. And it is one of those that I very rarely rewatch an anime ever. In fact, I don't think I ever have. I never sat and actually rewatched an anime. There's too many that I want to enjoy more of. But I think now that I know what kind of happens at the end of the movie specifically, I kind of want to rewatch it to see what other bits of information I can kind of pick up that maybe I didn't in the first run. And I think that is a good mark of how good an anime series is. Do you want to watch it again? Do you want to see what you can pick up more this time? Do you want to see the Easter eggs that maybe they mentioned at the beginning, but maybe you forgot by the end or didn't truly appreciate until you watch it again? And I'm interested to watch it again. It's going to have to be until the bucket list is like way less silver than what it is, unfortunately. But I think it is one of those anime that I really do want to dive into again and try and understand even further. But if anyone knows like a book or like a blog or something that really, really dives into like the lore of the world of Evangelion, that kind of thing, please let me know. I really want to understand this world a little bit more. There's so much lore there that I really want to dive into. So please do let me know. But Easter eggs and trivia. So I've got 5 facts about the world of Evangelion, both the series, characters, and kind of the background of the production of it. And then you kind of know it a little bit more. There's more that I could find, but honestly, we would have been here for days trying to start dissecting them all. Hey everyone, I just thought I'd pop in here real quick just to tell you all about Crunchyroll. And Crunchyroll is my favourite platform to stream all the anime that I watch, including Naruto, One Piece, Attack on Titan, Black Clover, and a whole host more, all of which I'm probably talking about in this episode. Down in the show notes and in the description, you'll find a link to start a free trial where you'll be able to browse a whole host of thousands of anime to discover and love. So the first Easter egg or trivia fact is the name Shin Seiki Evangelion translates directly as New Century Evangelion or New Era Evangelion. The term Evangelion is in relation to the ancient Greek term for good messenger or good news. The name was chosen in part for its religious symbolism, which we kind of mentioned a little bit earlier on, the kind of religious undercurrent for the show, as well as for the fact that Hideki Anno, the creator of Evangelion, said that he liked the word Evangelion because it sounded complicated, which I think is fair enough. I think sometimes there's too much meaning behind stuff, and just because you like the sound of a word, fair enough, make it its name. That's fair enough. That's more than enough for me. The second fact, or second kind of trivia Easter egg, is that in the second impact scene in the Neon Genesis Evangelion anime, the kind of original 26 episodes, the sound effects used during the spread of the wings use similar sound effects from the planet Saturn and the dark side of the moon, created by converting the electromagnetic vibrations of the planetary object into a sound effect. So the actual sound that we use for these kind of really spacey kind of sci-fi anime moments that we see, these moments in the anime, are actually like sounds from space. That is wild, and that is so, so cool. And it's those kind of like tidbits that I think really make an anime super special, is when we kind of realize that the sound effects that they've used actually come from like a real world moment that's super, super obscure or kind of big, like an astral body like Saturn or the moon. And it's actually their sounds that made the wing noise. So that is super, super interesting. Shinji and Nev were supposed to fight 28 angels in the original script, but due to the production deadline of the show, the number of angels was reduced to 17. I would have loved it if they kind of done all 28. This is kind of what I meant, where I kind of wanted to see more of the angels. What do the other ones look like? You know, that kind of vibe. So interesting, but I'm kind of glad that it didn't run too long. I like an anime where it kind of runs for 24 to 26 episodes. I think that gives the show a really good kind of rounding overall, good pace, good rounding, all that kind of thing. He says wearing a One Piece shirt. I am aware how long One Piece is. And that irony is not lost on me, believe me. But I think it had enough to tell the story. However, I would have liked more lore about the angels. But they should have fought 28 of the episodes. And the character names in Neon Genesis Evangelion series are mostly based on warships used in World War II. So the names were Ayanami, which was the destroyer of the Imperial Japanese Navy, Soryu, the aircraft carrier of the Imperial Japanese Navy, and Langley, after the United States Navy ship, and finally Ikari, the anchor, which was part of the warship. I think that's kind of an interesting undercurrent as well. We see kind of like these big ships, we see the warships, we see the helicopters, that kind of thing. And it is focused on this kind of a type of war, I guess. I think it's interesting that yet again in an anime, we've seen this link to World War II and the kind of the naming system from all those pieces of equipment and transport vessels that were used during that time. Ghibli do this a lot, and I think it's interesting to see other types of anime use that kind of symbolism and naming system as well. And finally, the Eva design in Neon Genesis Evangelion is based on the Japanese monster, which is an Oni, which means devil or giant, and the creator Anno said, and I quote, "There is a monster in Japan called Oni. She has two horns sticking out of her head, and Eva's overall image is based on the Oni. I also want to give the impression that under this picture, the robot monster is not a real robot, but a giant human," unquote. I think that is exactly what I mentioned earlier on, where they're more biological than they are robot. And it's interesting that it's a mecha anime that's actually more biological than it is mecha focused. And it's super, super awkward and weird and bizarre, but that kind of really fits the vibe for the characters in the show as well. But overall thoughts on the show, loved it, amazing. A few notes, usually I'd be like, no notes, but there are some notes, and, you know, it is an iconic series for a reason, and I can see why. It is one of the most visually appealing and interesting and complex anime I've watched for a long time. And it's been really nice, actually, to truly appreciate an anime that's not only iconic, but also one that's not super new and not super shiny. You know, it's one that came out in 1995, and it does show, but not in the ways that you think. It shows in the format. It's like a square for the first 24 episodes. For the 26 episodes, like the square kind of format. And for the movie, they changed it because the format kind of popularity changed. It got to the widescreen one. But it shows in things like that, but I think that's part of its charm. Part of its charm is the fact that it came out in 1995 and it's truly, truly stood the test of time. And it's become an anime that we're still talking about today, and it's still controversial to this day. And I think it's one of the ones I think will forever be one of those absolute must-watches for any anime fan, whether you're new, start like already are a big anime fan like myself that's never actually watched it but know of it. I think it's interesting that it's so iconic and it kind of name kind of precedes itself, and it's one of those ones that is going to be iconic for forever. I guess it'll be iconic forever, and I think at some point we may see another studio take on the Evangelion franchise and remake it in today's technology, retell it, I guess, but from a slightly different point of view or with a different aesthetic to it. I think that potentially is on the lines, maybe for a giant anniversary for the series, potentially something like that. We're seeing it with One Piece, with Witch Studios. We are seeing that remake for that franchise, and I think something like this will come to place. We've seen the rebuild movies, but I don't think that's quite the same. I think we'll see a true original series remake soon with a little bit of a renewed focus, kind of merge the movie and the series together, but with a retelling, new studio, that kind of thing. I think that's really interesting. But thank you so much for reviewing Evangelion with me. If you have watched Evangelion, I hope you have, because you've watched this episode right to the end. And if not, you've got a lot of spoilers there. But anyway, I hope you've enjoyed it. If you have, your thoughts on Evangelion, what do you think of it? What did you think to the ending? Specifically, what did you think to that kind of last two episodes? What do you think to the movies? And share your thoughts, share your comments. I want to know what some of the members in the anime community think about iconic anime such as Evangelion. I want to know what your thoughts are. You know, this is your guys' podcast, so I want to know what your thoughts are. Leave a comment or in the review comments. Please do leave a review. They take no time at all to do. If you're on Apple Podcasts or YouTube or Spotify, please do like or subscribe. Please do. They support the show in multiple ways, in ways you could not honestly imagine, and they are free to do. Thank you so much for joining me on another Friday, another Anime Feel Friday. This week, I have a lot more anime to watch. I think my new focus this for the week coming is to get a much more Naruto focus. I want to finish the first series. I want to finish the first original anime, Naruto, before I jump into Shippuden. I want to finish that off. I've sat on that for a long time. It is the time. I need to move that forward. But thank you so much for joining me on today's episode. Be sure to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. I'll see you over on Instagram, TikTok, Threads, everywhere else. And thank you. Enjoy your weekend. Have a great week. Enjoy and happy anime watching. Bye-bye.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Weight loss solutions are not one size fits all. Hers makes it simpler to get started and stick with a weight loss plan backed by expert guided online care that puts your weight loss goals first. These include oral medication kits or compounded GLP-1 injections. Through Hers, pricing for oral medication kits started just $69 a month for a 10-month plan when paid in full upfront. No hidden fees, no membership fees. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hers brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatment plans that put your goals first. Reach your weight loss goals with help through Hers. Get started at forhers.com/foryou to access affordable, doctor-trusted weight loss plans. That's forhers.com/foryou, forhers.com/foryou. Paid for by Hims and Hers Health. Weight loss by Hers is not available everywhere. Compounded products are not FDA approved or verified for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. Restrictions at forhers.com. Apply.